Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. I'm Katie Barrett-Wick from the Saul Ewing Law Firm. I'm here today with my colleague Doug Anderson on behalf of Appellant Tom Reinhart and Reinhart Enterprises. I intend to reserve two minutes for rebuttal, and I will keep an eye on that. We are here on this 12B6 dismissal on a dispute on a contract and whether Mr. Reinhart is owed a termination buyout fee when the term of the contract was allowed to expire and not renewed. We believe it is clear from the plain language of the contract and also from the intent of the parties as alleged and not disputed and must be considered as true in the complaint, that the parties intended exactly that. The key amendment that was enacted in 2021, just 2 days before the closing of the sale of BNG, which is the predecessor entity to Kaseya, the successor entity that made the purchase, was to ensure that Mr. Reinhart, who is a longtime friend and colleague and business associate of the sellers, would be taken care of in the account of the sellout, of the buyout, excuse me. He was not a member who had equity at the time, and so it was incredibly important to the sellers that Mr. Reinhart either be able to keep engaging in this productive and successful business relationship with a successor entity, or that he would be given a buyout fee. And it's important in looking at how that amendment modifies the original sales agreement for the court to look at the totality of all of the changes made in that amendment, and then, of course, consider that along with the unimpacted aspects of the first contract.
And under the original version of the agreement, he was to get some kind of, I don't know, what do you call it? It's not royalties, but sort of he was supposed to continue to get paid if there were folks who stayed in this program. Is that correct, even if he had left?
Yes, that's right. If the entity continued, that's right. If customers came to the entity and they stayed with the entity, that's right, Your Honor. And it's very important to look at the other amendments in addition to the most important one being the amendment to 8.1, which says a buyout fee shall be paid if these, I think there's four specific, unless rather, one of these four specific conditions, factual conditions, exist. And they don't here, and there's no allegation from Kaseya that they do. There's simply no dispute that none of the sort of exceptions. So the default presumption under the amendment is that a buyout fee, a significant one, we think in this case it will exceed $1.7 million, and then there's an attorney fees entitlement under the contract, that unambiguously entitles Mr. Reinhart to this buyout. So we've given Your Honors two paths to reversal, but it's clear that one or the other, that reversal is required because we had, frankly, an interpretation of unambiguity that just cannot be squared with the plain language of the contract. And so the court could either look at what I hope to be some persuasiveness, the explanation we've given, which is to encourage the court to follow what North Dakota, of course, requires, which is very canonical black letter law for contracts, look at the contract in its totality, use a common sense understanding. If the contract language itself evidences the intent of the parties, which I would say, I don't know how you can get any more clear than the portion of the amendment that says, that removes the discretion on behalf of BNG, which became Kaseya, to modify or reduce Mr. Reinhart's compensation to say that it cannot be reduced, that is unambiguous. Alternatively, Your Honor, the court could conclude that the parties' interpretations of the contract evidence as a matter of law some ambiguity. And in that case, the extrinsic evidence could be looked at as to what the party's intent would be. Either way, reversal is required. I would suggest that the most compelling interpretation of the contract is the one that would hold that a buyout fee on these uncontested facts are, in fact, due.
There are two ways to end this, right? There's a termination and, even though non-renewal is not in the contract, there is a provision for renewal or electing not to renew. So at least on the face of it, there are two ways that this relationship could end.
I don't think that's true, Your Honor. That is the case in the contracts that are relied upon or that are at issue in the cases that the district court and Kaseya relies upon, though both the First Circuit case in Mason And what's the other one? That's a statutory case, the Salyer case. There were defined terms of non-renewal and termination. We don't have that here. The language about, frankly, non-renewal is not a term anywhere in any part of this agreement, but renewal is included in the term. It's literally just the section that says term, which, as we've explained, lays out the fact that it's not an indefinite contract, which of course would be a problem for another reason, and also lays out the fact that there wouldn't be a breach if the termination ended at the end of sort of a naturally occurring term. So I think I would disagree that any language in the contract suggests that there is any route that is not termination. The plain language of the contract, both the original and then read with the amendment, was that the end of the contract was in fact a termination, that the end of the business dealing was a termination. And I think we see that. It's important to note that the argument the successor entity, the appellee, they want it to be a termination for the purpose of the post-termination obligations of Mr. Reinhart. There's no dispute. They sent him, it's I think Exhibit C to the complaint, the quote-unquote non-renewal letter, which under the contract is not a thing, but that the termination letter said, remember, you have post-termination obligations, which include not to compete and not to divulge confidential information and not to solicit the customers. Because, as you noted, Judge Kelly, there was some ability to get paid under the contract. So Kaseya wants it to be a termination to the extent that it benefits them, but it doesn't want to when it tries to get out of this buyout fee. And that's simply not supported by the plain language of the contract.
Counsel, this is Judge Smith.
Yeah.
What fact disputes are there in this case? Or is this a matter purely of contract interpretation, a legal interpretation of the contract?
So I think in terms of liability, you're right. There are not fact disputes if the contract is read properly. The fact disputes would be about the damages. So if you adopt our advocated interpretation of the contract, which is the most consistent with its language in North Dakota law, your remand would be more limited in scope to damages, to assessment of damages. There really isn't any dispute about the facts that led up to either the execution of the agreements or the Kaseya's decision to terminate the business relationship. Any other questions? If I don't, otherwise I'll reserve.
So interpretation of the meaning of termination, for instance, is that a matter of law or a matter of fact as to what the parties meant by termination of the agreement? Because the argument seems to be is to exactly, does termination of the agreement mean specific acts to end it before the renewal period, or does the renewal period's ending of the contract also, is it also included in the term termination in this contract? How are those questions to be resolved? Is matters of fact or law?
So under our reading of the contract, it can be resolved as a matter of law because there's no contemplation, there's no means of terminating the contract through anything other than a termination. There is no such thing as a non-renewal. It's not a defined term, although, as Your Honor points out, nor is termination. So I think...
Well, it may not be defined, but it seems obvious that the parties have specifically stated that if you give notice at the proper time before a renewal period, this contract won't be renewed.
Correct, but that doesn't, I'm sorry, Your Honor.
And that the absence of renewal ends it. And so if that then is a termination, then it becomes a matter of, you can have two different kinds of termination. A termination that's intended by the parties prior to a renewal period, or a termination, as I would read it, for cause. A termination that the parties decide, we want out of this, this isn't working out, and here are our reasons, and end it prior to a end of a term.
So I think the challenge with that, Your Honor, is that if you look at the 8.1 and the amendment, it's very clear that a buyout fee has to be paid unless these other particular circumstances exist. And there's just no doubt that they don't exist here, Your Honor. So I think, respectfully, that's reading in definitions of termination as being limited to only midterm. And I think that would render render superfluous the consequences for terminating midterm, which is the difference between Kaseya or Mr. Reinhart terminating at the end of a term. But there's no support. I just don't the arguments that that the parties intended anything other than for finally, and I know I want to hopefully have a short amount of time on rebuttal. But I would encourage Your Honor to look at 3.2 in the amendment, which is about what happens when there's a sale. And it's very clear that that what's going to happen when there's a sale is that either Mr. Reinhart Enterprises would keep doing business or he would get a buyout fee. And so the court has to look at 8.1 and what was intended for 8.1 and the presumption in favor of a buyout fee in the context of that as well as the original agreement.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
May it please the court, opposing counsel. My name is Mackenzie Hertz, and together with my co-counsel, Lisa Edison-Smith, we represent the appellees in this case, Kaseya US LLC and BNG Holdings Inc. LLC as successor in interest to BNG Holdings Inc. We will just collectively refer to them as appellees. I have an outline here, but I would like to start with the question that Judge Smith posed, which is, how does this court determine the definition of termination? Is that a question of law or a question of fact? And North Dakota law is very clear on this point. We can look to the North Dakota Century Code, which gives us assistance in this, to tell us that this is a question of law. North Dakota says that in interpreting a contract, the court must make that interpretation based on the writing alone whenever possible, using the terms ordinary and popular meanings. And that's where the North Dakota Supreme Court has directed us in interpreting undefined contractual terms like termination or renewal. Applying those ordinary and popular meanings here, Your Honors, it's very clear that the district court correctly held that a qualified termination buyout fee was not due when Kaseya elected to not renew the agreement. And that's really for three main reasons, which is that the plain text and structure of the agreement shows that there were separate and distinct consequences if there was a termination, something that happened midterm that disrupted Reinhart's services, as opposed to a non-renewal, which did not trigger the termination fee under Section 8.1. Second, again, back to the ordinary and popular meanings of termination and non-renewal, we can see the functional distinction between these terms. Third, finally, and I recognize my time is limited, so we may not get to this, but you will see in our briefing the case law from other jurisdictions, as well as the North Dakota Supreme Court, respects this distinction. And so I want to turn to then, right to this heart of this point, the ordinary and popular meanings of termination and non-renewal, because I really think that informs why there is this functional distinction in general and in this contract in particular. Termination, Your Honors, is when you look at the dictionary definition, you bring an end or a conclusion to something. You disrupt it, you sever an ongoing relationship. On the other hand,
counsel, I have a lawn service at home. And if I decide I don't like my lawn service and I choose not to renew it, why isn't my relationship terminated?
Because, Your Honor, if you choose not to renew it, that means the term has already expired. It's run its course, and you're simply electing not to renew, not to make again, the dictionary definition of renew, not to make again, to do again this relationship. You're not terminating it. It's run its course. The question is whether you're going to renew, re-engage. The North Dakota Supreme Court's analysis in Saylor is really helpful on this point. And it uses a little different words because it's applying the terms that were used in a now repealed statute governing collective bargaining agreements for educators in the state. And it distinguished between a discharge and a non-renewal. In that case, if a superintendent had been discharged, he'd be entitled to additional protections. If he was non-renewed, he would not. And the North Dakota Supreme Court said that this is a functional distinction. And the fact that he was non-renewed for cause did not equate that he would get the benefits that were associated with discharge, because it is one thing to immediately dismiss him. If your lawn service, if they're in the middle of their contract and you immediately dismiss them in the middle of the summer and say, I want to hire the kids next door, well, then he may be entitled to a termination buyout fee if you had a very complicated contract for your lawn service. On the other hand, though, if at the end of the summer you say, I don't really like this lawn service, I think I just want to use the kid next door, if that original contract had a termination buyout fee, it wouldn't apply. And that's really how we apply the ordinary and popular meaning.
Well, let's take that as a given that there are differences between termination and a decision not to renew. In this particular contract, got a little wrinkle, at least in what survives termination or decision not to renew. And your own letter to Mr. Reinhart's, or your client's own letter to Mr. Reinhart was, hey, remember all of your obligations upon termination. So is it your position that because it was not renewed, none of those obligations apply to Mr. Reinhart?
Yes, Your Honor. And so we acknowledge there was a template letter that was sent out at the end of this, in this non-renewal that mentioned in passing consequences upon termination. We acknowledge that. The thing that is important, there's two things. First, that letter itself would be extrinsic evidence that you shouldn't get to beyond the four corners of this agreement unless it's ambiguous.
Well, counsel, what would the purpose be of a non-competition clause if it wasn't going to apply after a non-renewal?
And that's exactly my second point, is that just like the post-termination buyout fee, the purpose of having a non-competition provision in the midst of a termination is that this is a sudden disruption. As the North Dakota, or as the district court explained here, the way the non-solicitation provision is drafted is that it would be triggered upon any termination. So if either party in the midst of the term, if Reinhart in the midst of the term separated, then Kaseo would need those protections to be triggered. If this is instead the parties reasonably in the commercial course of business reevaluating the relationship, there's a lesser need for those protections. And
so counsel, you're telling us that sections 2.8, 2.11, 3.4, 4.4, 5.1, and articles 6, 8, and 9 do not apply if it's not renewal.
That
has to be termination.
That is correct, Your Honor.
That seems to be a rather remarkable interpretation of a contract, because we have to look at the entirety of the contract.
Well, and when you look at the entirety of the contract, those provisions really aren't that remarkable, I would submit to you, Your Honor. Let's start with, for example, 2.8, which is the provision that contemplates that if there was a breach, that, or maybe I'm mixing up the provisions here, but there's a provision, for example, that if there were a breach of the contract and it was terminated for cause, that would immediately terminate the agreement and immediately stop post-termination compensation. That makes sense in the context of this agreement, why that would happen on termination and not non-renewal. Why? Because there's a 30-day look-back period for Reinhart to get paid under this contract. And so, of course, if you have a non-renewal, you'd honor that. If you terminate someone for cause, you're going to say, I'm cutting off your payment right now. And so I could go through each of these provisions, but if you read them as a whole, they do make sense. And I'll say this, because I see I'm running a little bit short on time. The thing that would be rendered superfluous if we adopt opposing counsel's argument is the effect of the non-renewal provision itself. It would be rendered completely inoperative if the parties would not be allowed to revisit their relationship on successive annual terms. If the parties were not able to say, we've satisfied our benefit of the bargain under this relationship, and we've satisfied our duties under this relationship, that would render the purpose and effect of having the opportunity to evaluate non-renewal completely meaningless in this contract. That's what would be rendered superfluous. You can still apply the non-solicitation provision on a termination. You can still contemplate some of these other unique post-termination issues in the context of simply a termination. What would be written out is the function and effect of non-renewal if we were to adopt Reinhart's argument. One other thing, too, Your Honors, that I wanted to point out on disputed facts, there really aren't any. The parties agree on a lot of things here. They agree that North Dakota law applies. They agree about the plain language of the agreement. They agree that Section 7.1, even though I've shorthanded it as a non-renewal provision, I recognize that's my shorthand, says that either party may elect not to renew on each annual successive term. They recognize that Section 8.1 provides a qualifying termination buyout fee if the agreement is terminated, unless there's one of these exceptions on a termination. And they agree that Section 8.1, despite an amendment, by the way, was not amended to contemplate what would happen upon non-renewal, because that is a separate issue. And so this is not a case about creative interpretations after the fact. This is an unambiguous agreement that now opposing counsel has proposed creative post-non-renewal arguments. But those revisions do not find support in the plain language of the agreement. They don't find support under North Dakota law. And for those reasons, we respectfully request this court to affirm the district court's holding, dismissing the breach of contract claim. Thank you.
Thank you. Does counsel have any rebuttal? I'll give you 1 minute.
Two points in rebuttal. First, I would direct the court's attention to the Exhibit C, Appendix 39, which is the termination letter. And I would just encourage the court to take a quick peek at it. It's two paragraphs, but it is not a form letter. It's instructed to Dear Thomas. It references Susanna Klotz having spoken to him, and then it reminds him of his post-term agreement obligations. Second, Your Honor, I would encourage the court to look at Salyer. It is a very different set of facts about a statute and obligations and notice to school superintendents. But what is crystal clear, despite those facts, is that at the time, at least, the Supreme Court of North Dakota considered non-renewal to be a form of termination. In both the very beginning of that decision, the issue presented is whether the trial court erred as a matter of law in determining that Salyer's termination was a non-renewal rather than a discharge. And at the very end, it says, instead, we hold that the trial court did not err in concluding that Salyer's termination was a non-renewal. If the court wants to look at North Dakota case law, it's highly supportive of our position, and reversal is required.
Thank you. Thank you, counsel.